The story of John North Willis. In 1896, a young traveling salesman named John Willis landed in the town of Elmira, New York. His first stop was at the Elmira Arms Company, a sporting goods establishment, and one of his regular customers. Opening the rusty screen door, Willis noticed that an atmosphere of intense gloom hung over the Elmira Arms Company. In the rear of the store, hunched over a pine wood desk, was a glowering, shirt-sleeved figure.
Hello, Willis.
Morning, Pete.
What's on your mind today? If you come to sell me anything, you're just out of luck.
Well, mind if I sit down?
No.
You don't look very happy. Is business bad?
No.
Got indigestion?
No.
I thought maybe you'd give me an order for some merchandise, but as long as you don't feel well, I'll come back tomorrow.
No use. I'm not buying any more stock for this store. I'm sick of the place. Wish I'd never gone into this business.
Why?
Well, there's no future in it. There's only one place to make real money and make it fast, and that's Alaska.
You thinking of going to Alaska?
I'd give an ear to be in that gold rush right now. But how can I leave? All my money's tied up in this store.
I'd advise you to sell the store.
Who'd buy it?
I might buy it myself, providing the price was right. I used to be in the bicycle business back home, and I've saved a little money.
Well, there's $2,800 worth of stock here. Of course, I'd be willing to take some loss for cash.
I'm afraid I can't make it. $500 is all I have.
Couldn't you raise $500 more?
Nope, it's impossible. Say, Pete, speaking of the gold rush, I have a friend who went to Alaska with nothing but a shovel. He came back last week with a suitcase full of nuggets.
A suitcase full?
Yep. A fellow named Jones. I'll give you his address in case you want to get in touch.
He found all that gold in the Yukon?
That's what he said. You know, I've been thinking I might take my $500 and travel up to Alaska myself. The more I think about it, the better it seems. Well, I'll see you later.
Look, Willis, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you have the store for $500 cash. Of course, I'm taking a terrific loss.
Oh, no, I wouldn't consider it now. You'll get a buyer someday. Just be patient.
Patient? You only knew how I'm aching to get up there in the Klondike. Willis, you can have this store lock, stock, and barrel for $500.
All right, Pete.
Then it's a deal?
Yes, it's a deal.
After taking over the Elmira Arms Company, John Willis made a specialty of selling bicycles. And in 8 months, he had cleared a profit of $1,000. Soon he entered the wholesale business, becoming one of the largest bicycle distributors in New York. Then, in 1899, as John Willis was nearing his 27th birthday...
Get your horse out of the road, Joe. It's one of them contraptions.
Get out there.
No place right now, Si. Can't you see I've stopped?
Look at the dude. He's wearing goggles and a duster.
Say, where can I get some kerosene for my lamp?
I don't know. Ask John Willis. That's him standing in the doorway. Hey, John, you want some kerosene?
I guess I can fix him up. That's quite a horse's carriage you've got there.
Yeah, I'd say it's a Pierce Motorette. Best made. Set me back 900 simoleons.
Come on inside the store.
All right, sure.
I sell bicycles.
The bicycle's a thing of the past. Within 2 years, you'll be starving to death if you depend on bicycles for a living.
I'm not worried yet. Yours is only the second motor car I've ever seen.
Someday the roads will be full of them. Mark what I say.
Half a gallon be enough?
Plenty.
Yeah. That'll cost you a quarter.
Well, here you are.
Thanks.
That ought to last me for a while. Put the cannon back while I give the engine a twist.
All right.
I better hold on to your horse, Si.
Come on, Dad, blame you.
There she goes. Well, see you later, men.
You sure run pretty.
Pretty? You call that racket pretty? I hope you ain't intending to buy one of them darn contraptions.
Can't tell. That fellow might have been right.
Huh?
Said I'd be starving to death in 2 years if I stayed in the bicycle business.
I wouldn't take that young whippersnapper's word, Pendleton.
I didn't. See, Joe, I ordered one of those motor cars from the factory last week to use as a demonstrator.
You're gonna sell them?
Yeah, Joe. I figure they might make a pretty good sideline someday.
¶¶
Mr. Perry, 6 years ago I started selling automobiles back in Elmira. I did so well that I've just recently organized the American Motor Car Sales Company.
Yes, I've heard of your success, Mr. Willis.
Now, here's my proposition. You manufacture the automobiles and I'll sell them. I'll guarantee to sell every car that the Overland Company puts out.
Well, that's quite a risk for one man. Do you realize that the Overland Company turned out 47 cars last year? And soon we expect to make as many as 500.
I'll sell them all.
Well, now, that's quite a task. I don't like to trust the sales of my automobile to one man. You see, Mr. Willis...
Take it or leave it. I've already guaranteed to sell the American company's cars. I dare say there are other firms...
Now, just a minute, sir. What I meant to say is that I'd be very willing to give you the contract, providing you pay for every car, whether you sell it or not.
That's fine, Mr. Perry. Now, I advise you to start hustling. I'll have orders for 500 cars by the end of the year, and you'd better be able to sell them. You might as well be frank about this, Mr. Perry. I want to know what's wrong. I've taken orders for 500 Overlands, and I've sent in the money. But not one of those cars has been delivered.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know how scarce money is. The stock market panic has affected everyone.
That's no excuse. I've done my part. If you don't fill those orders, my business will be ruined.
And then we'll be in the same boat. The Overland Company hasn't been able to meet its payroll. Tomorrow, the firm goes into the hands of the receivers.
What?
Our debts are tremendous. But we might carry on for a while if we could meet the payroll.
How much is it?
$350.
Oh. Look here. If I raise enough to meet the payroll, will you give me complete control of the company and leave its management up to me?
Well, gladly. Oh, there isn't that much money in Indianapolis.
You just sit tight. I'll be back this evening. And I'll have the money with me if I have to go from door to door again.
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't possibly cash your check. The hotel safe is empty.
But it's good. A check for $500 on one of the best banks in the U.S.
Well, the Indianapolis banks are closed
but
now.
There must be some way. If this check isn't cashed, the Overland Company will go out of business.
Oh, that sounds serious. Hey, wait a minute, Mayor. Ike, you got any change?
Oh, yeah, 2 bits.
Well, give it to me. Then go into the barber shop and see if Tony has any money. It's for that Overland payroll.
You bet. Wait here. Oh, Tony? They're raising money for the Overland payroll. Got any dough? Man wants to cash a check.
See?
Oh, $5. Say, mister, how about you? You got the money for it to shave?
Well, let's have 10.
Hey, I got a few dollars here.
I'll chip in, too.
Look at the pool room, Tony.
Oh, betcha. Hey, man.
Yeah?
You got any money? Someone is trying to cash the check for the Overland to come.
Oh, well, yeah, I got the
$491, $96, $97, $98, $99, $500. $500 in cash.
Well, you're a wizard. I don't see how you did it.
A hotel clerk helped me out, along with a barber shop, a pool room, 5 restaurants, and a cigar counter. There's $350 for the payroll and the rest for additional expenses.
Well, this money will keep the company going for at least another week.
Longer than that, Perry. I've been itching to get my hands into the manufacturing side of this business, and I intend to make a go of it. I'm the manager now, and I intend to make this firm one of the largest concerns in America.
Under John Willis' masterful guidance, the faltering Overland Company soon cleared itself from debt. Cash began to pour in while shiny automobiles rolled out of the long iron-roofed shed. A year later, Willis was made president of the company, and in 1909, the shop was crammed with men and machinery. Circus tents were purchased from a stranded carnival, and the work continued under canvas.
We've got to find larger quarters. That's all there is to it. This is an automobile factory, not a circus.
Well, what do you suggest?
You build a factory here in Indianapolis. There's some men in New York who'll advance us the money. I'm leaving tomorrow for a conference with them.
Mr. Willis, you're wanted on the phone. Toledo calling.
Coming. Come on, Perry.
It is probably Blakely, our Ohio representative.
Hello, Blakely? What's that? They're in trouble, eh? How much do they want? Yeah, I'll come take a look at it. Bye. The Pope Toledo Company is going out of business. They want us to buy their factory.
I've seen the place. It's ready to fall apart.
But they have 7 acres of land and 2 or 3 buildings. That would give us plenty of room for expansion.
Oh, Mr. Willis, why don't you build in Indianapolis? There's your plan first.
Because I'm running a business. And whenever a businessman sees a bargain, he snaps it up. I got my first start by grabbing at a bargain. I'm president of this company because I invested $500 in an outfit that was ready to go broke.
Yes, but the risk of moving to another state...
It isn't any greater than the risk I took with my $500. Say, Jim, rush down to the railroad station and buy us 2 tickets to Toledo.
Within 48 hours, Willis was owner of the Pope Toledo factory by virtue of a $25,000 deposit. 12,000 Overlands were manufactured during the firm's first year in the new quarters. And in 1917, when the company was producing 1,000 cars daily,
My clients have authorized me to make you an offer, Mr. Willis. They wish to buy your entire interest in the Overland Company. If you're as shrewd as they say, I believe you'll accept this magnanimous gesture.
All right, all right. How much will they give?
$80 million. Think of it, sir. $80 million.
It's not enough.
Not enough, but sir,
I wouldn't sell for $100 million. This firm means everything to me. It's my whole life. Would you sell your life for $80 million?
Well, hardly, sir, but certainly you could find something.
Not right now. Come around in about 20 years. Perhaps I'll be more receptive then. Right now, I'm too busy to think of retiring.
Well, I'm sorry we couldn't do business, Mr.
Well, now, maybe we can. I'm never the man to turn down business.
Then you'll consider my offer?
I mean that if you're ever in the market for a good automobile, look me up.
Enterprising and alert, John Willis was a born salesman and continued as such until the end of his colorful life in 1935, when he died at the age of 61. His career was parallel with the growth of the automobile, and his labors added to the progress and comfort of a nation. John North Willis, Captain of Industry.